What you're about to hear is a satirization of talk radio, a send-up of the medium. In other words, it's supposed to be funny. The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Now, coming up tonight is Bobby Dooley of the Western Estates Homeowners Association, who ponders sleeping with the husband of a fellow member of the Homeowners Association Homeowners Board, because if she can seduce that woman's husband, she can discredit that woman, and her influence on the Homeowners Association Board will be lessened as a result. Yes, that's the kind of scumbag Bobby Dooley is. We'll hear more from her later on tonight. Also, Jay Sanos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. How important is it for you to keep your kids off of drugs? I know it's important for all of us. Is it worth it for you to have your 16-year-old daughter strip searched and given a full body cavity search by Jay and his friends in order to keep her off of drugs? Tonight we'll be talking with Jay Sanos about that. And I know we have a Lloyd Bonafide flashback coming up, right, Mark? So Lloyd Bonafide will be featured in our flashback segment, which is in just a few minutes this evening here on the Phil Hendry Show. But Mr. Bonafide's joining us from Alhambra tonight. How are you tonight, sir?
Yes, sir. I'm doing very well.
Mr. Bonafide, what and how are you this evening? And I just to introduce you to our audience, you are a veteran of our armed forces, which I give you honor for.
I appreciate that very much, young man. Yes, I was in the United States Navy for 3.5 years during the Korean conflict, and I can tell you there isn't a day that goes by I don't think about it.
I understand. I wanted to, first of all, thank you for your participation in our program. You sent me the information, sir, about the New York City Health Department.
Yeah, yes. This is, Phil, in my opinion, an example of government run amok. You know, we talk an awful lot about the misuse of funds, but the city of New York is distributing condoms, and these are, and I'm reading directly from the article now in the, this is AOL News from the USA Today, and let me quote, February 16th, New York City is getting an official condom. I'll do it in a minute, darling, all right? The city health department, sorry, my wife said that it's dinner time.
Well, I don't want to keep you.
No, I want to, let me read to you. The city health department, which distributes more than 1 million free condoms a month to combat, what are you touching? Okay. She's, my wife, I don't know if I can tell you, my wife just, she said my fly was open. I saw her fooling around. Thank you, dear.
All right, well, just, so we can move along with this.
Yes, sir. It says the city health department, which distributes more than 1 million free condoms a month to combat the spread of sexually transmitted diseases, plans to design its own condom packaging. The New York brand Prophylactic has yet to be named, and the package hasn't been designed, and so forth. So what they're proposing, Phil, creating condoms, which is, you know, prophylactic against sexually transmitted diseases.
Right.
In the shape of the New York City, skyline and buildings.
And, the condoms themselves?
Yes, sir. And I wrote a letter, and I've got the letter here, and I won't bore you with it. But I can tell you, I'll quote it. Dear sir, addressed to the mayor of the city of New York, I said, for you to infer that my penis is shaped like the Empire State Building, or, you see what I'm saying, Phil? In other words...
I don't think they're inferring that. What do you mean?
Because the condom is shaped, is that right? The condom is, my wife read me the article.
The condoms are shaped like New York buildings?
Yes, sir, and I wrote it, I said, for you to infer that I've got some block-shaped penis... And I served my country. Now, excuse my language, Mr. Hendry.
Well, it's a little, I mean, first of all, I doubt very seriously if that's what the, you know...
Well, why? You doubt very seriously, huh? Let me ask you a question, then. Why would they do that?
Well, didn't it say the packaging had pictures of the building?
My understanding is I got this information from the, and I'm reading it here, USA Today, AOL News... HTTP://
We don't need all of that. I know. It's off the internet, right?
Oh, I say?
Is it off the internet?
Is it off the internet? Yes. It's off. My wife said it's on the internet. So what they're it's a joke, and I don't think it's funny. When you've got people dying, and I don't know if you've ever seen a man die in the throes of gonorrhea disease that has crept into his brain. But, mister, I watched a lot of members of the United States military die that way.
I'm sorry, sir.
And it's not a pretty thing. And one of the people who we all know, of course, was General MacArthur, who gonorrhea infiltrated his...
Wait. Hold on for a minute.
What? No.
Wait a minute. What do you mean, General MacArthur? General Douglas...
Did you hear the speech he gave at the Old Soldiers Fade Away? He was battier than hell. He was battier than seven shades of your favorite dung. And he's talking about... And now the city of New York proposes to give me a condom that is shaped like the Eiffel Tower. In other words, they think I got a needle-sized one. And the individual responds, and I'll tell you right now...
They don't think you got a needle-sized one, man. These are pictures on the side of the packaging. This isn't what the condom itself is shaped like.
Oh, why do you say that?
Well, what sense does that make? Here's a condom, yeah? It's shaped like the World Trade Center.
Well, you think pretty highly of yourself, don't you?
What do you mean?
Oh, what are you all like? Hey, look what I got. It's all like the... It's as big as the World Trade Center.
Wait, first of all, the World Trade Center doesn't exist anymore.
Well, when it did.
And secondly, nobody is saying you got one the size of the World Trade Center, and no one's saying that they're shaped like the buildings of New York. It is a package that is designed by the city of New York as a New York label or New York brand condom that will feature the city skyline, the famous New York skyline, but the condom itself is a normal shape.
So you got all the answers, don't you? You got all?
No, I don't have all the answers.
No, you've got all the answers, don't you? You people, they give you, these talk radio hosts. You and that Rusty Humphrey that I listen to, know-it-all son of a...
Well, I don't know about this gentleman, sir, and I don't think that I have all...
No, you got all the answers. Good for you. Now, hold on for a minute. Could you hold up?
No, sir. I do not believe...
No, wait, would you just hold on for a minute?
Okay.
There you go. There's your little round of applause.
And what kind of jackass is going to call a radio show and say, oh, I'm writing a letter of protest to New York City because I don't have a penis shaped like the Eiffel Tower? First of all, the Eiffel Tower, what city is it in?
I beg pardon?
What city is the Eiffel Tower in?
Boy, mister, you don't know your city. That is a prime, isn't that a landmark in New York? Is it?
It's Paris.
The hell it is.
It's Paris. Get rid of him, will you, bud?
You idiot!
Who's that? Oh, that's the guy that drooled when he answered the phone.
What? 1-800. You know what? I hate all of that stuff. Put a call like that through to me, man.
Why?
I don't like any of that. Hey, look at this, man. We got a T-shirt. I survived the earthquake, but I got this T-shirt. All that stuff I would put in a pile and burn. People think it's going to be valuable someday. Everybody saves those things. Hey, look at this. Yeah, my pet rock. Yeah, guess what, man? I got 9 of them. And you know what? You bought that pet rock for $20? Yeah, it's worth about 30 today. A friend of mine got into coin collecting. And this is years ago. He says, hey, yeah, you know, I'm into collecting coins. It's really kind of cool. I go, oh, yeah, well, okay. He goes, you want to come with me down to this coin place? I go, sure. So I go down there, some place on Colorado Boulevard in Pasadena. And I go into this place, and the dude, all these guys are in there selling coins. It's a whole subculture, this coin thing. Guy says, here is a silver Mercury head dime, and I bought it for $5 in 1981. What do you think it's worth now?
What?
When I bought the dime.
What's it worth?
Yeah.
A dime.
No, what is it? What do you mean a dime?
Well, I can't buy anything with it.
Well, you're not going to go and take a mercury head silver dime and go in, yeah, give me a dime's worth of taffy. It's supposedly worth something because it's silver. And in the 60s, we went to, you know, some kind of a hybrid deal. You know what I'm saying? Nah, you're an idiot. Why would I ask you?
Well, then don't ask.
Anyway, I wonder what that thing's worth now. I got it. It's still in a drawer. And it says $5 on it. All right. Coming up, our flashback with Lloyd Bonafide and the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Speaking of coin collecting, I don't know if you've been noticing your money. You know, when you get change, have you taken a look at it? What's going on with the coins all of a sudden? I mean, I got a nickel today that looks Canadian. I swear to God, someone's patterning our money after Canadian money. Light, weird looking faces on it. Stuff about the Queen, I don't know. And this nickel, it's got like Lincoln's, or who's the guy in the nickel? What's the guy, who's the name of the first president? I forget. Oh yeah, Washington. Anyway, there is the, you know, they've got like 3/4 of the coin is taken out. It's some kind of nouveau deco. Just keep the freaking coin the way it is, man. Anyway, my daughter, she's collecting those new quarters. That's pretty good, because I hear you win money if you get them all in. And, you know, don't you have to put them in that thing? So, I mean, I hate to sound old-fashioned about it. I think, yeah, it's cool, I guess. I mean, if you want to redesign something, how about redesigning the money? Only don't make it look like that European stuff with orange and green and blue. I don't like that, man. I don't want that. Not me. Not here. Not now. Greenback is good enough for me, baby. I'd like to see a few new pictures on there. You know, get Jefferson off of that $2. Get Jefferson out of there. He sucks. I want Washington's cool. Lincoln's good. Who's on the 10? Jackson? Get him out of there. Put a good guy on the 10. Put a, I don't know, put Woodrow Wilson or somebody like that in there. He's kind of a decent guy. Then the 20 has got who? Oh, that's Andrew Jackson. The 10 is Hamilton. Now, Hamilton's solid. He's my man. The 20, get Jackson out of there. He was a drunk. Speaking of drunks, I like Ulysses S. Grant. He was a good drunk. And then, by the way, we're going to come up with our... did you just hear what I did? I got nine million thoughts here, and this is what it comes out. It's the Phil Hendry Show, and now here's Phil. In a moment, we will have Lloyd Bonafide. But that Robert Wool show on HBO, have you seen that? Wow, some real cutting-edge stuff there, Robert, pointing out that Grant was a drunk. Yay! What is this, Firesign Theater? These guys, man, ever since Bill Maher got on there, and, you know, at one time Bill Maher was a very funny guy, then something happened. I think it might have been that pie that he wedged up his... I think that it might have been that pole that got shoved. In any event, the same night that they called 911 to pull a pole out of Sean Penn's ass, they had to do the same thing for Bill Maher, and so they've never been the same. Now, this guy Robert Wool, now he's doing a show, and it's observational shtick, right? A real... original take on things? How original is this? The government is full of crap. Well, that's heavy, man. How about a stand-up comic that says, Bush is solid, I dig him, I think war is cool, and the more dead, the better. In fact, I'm coming out with a bumper sticker. War is the answer. How about that? War is the answer. Come on, let's get those bumper stickers going, baby. War is not only answer, sometimes it's fun. Oh, yeah, Hendry, have you ever been in a war? Yeah, I've been married for 9 freaking years. All right, it's time now for our Lloyd Bonafide flashback. Hey, Phil, please. In August of last year, Lloyd took his grandson to the movies and went Bakersfield chimp when some kid was making too much noise. Please play this bit again. It was amazing. Signed, loyal listener since 98, Tim in Rancho Cucamonga. He is also known on the sweetfeatheryjesus.com website as Bowl Haircut. Here it is, Lloyd.
I just want to, I have a comment about the gentleman that was just on.
I'll save the letter.
Hold on for a minute. That gentleman's phone is a little loud. Go ahead.
Okay.
No, go ahead, Susie.
Okay. I have to say I feel sorry for his grandson because...
What's that you say?
I said I feel sorry for his grandson. He sounds like an old, disgruntled person, just like most of Southwest Florida is. It's unfortunate that he came up with whatever opinion he had of this child that was rummaging through his little box of candies. He had no business being at the theater. He made his whole evening miserable for his grandson. And this is what Southwest Florida's made up of. You people should move back to your home state.
Can I ask you a question? There are a great many Jewish people in Southwest Florida. Now, this Cindy Sheehan, whose son died in Iraq, are you familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know she hates Jews?
Wait a minute.
I don't know what you're talking about, sir.
Cindy Sheehan is a Jew hater, and I can tell by looking at her, I can tell by the way she looks through her face, she's crazier than a crap house rat.
You know what? It sounds like you don't know really what you're talking
exactly,
about.
Exactly,
if I were you, I would hang up and
go
to bed.
I'm talking about...
You sound like you shouldn't even have been driving your grandson anywhere.
Ma'am, I'm simply saying I want to take my grandson to a film without hearing some soccer mom indulging a boy who could very well, within 2 or 3 years, show the traits, the very recognizable traits of mongoloidism. Why is she doing that?
Well, she's talking to her boy about the movie, man. I mean, little kids... I'm sorry, Susie, to preempt you, but little kids are going to see this movie, okay?
Yes. You are supposed to keep your hole under your nose shut in a movie theater. Am I correct, or am I insane?
You're not realistic. You're talking about little children. I don't know of one little child that hasn't made noise and eaten out of a box of candy from a theater ever in my whole life. And when you were a little boy, you probably did the same thing. So you're a little...
Are you not realistic? Ma'am, I'm trying to... I'll ask you the same question. Are you for real?
Absolutely. I'm so for real.
Well, I'm as real as real can get.
I'm so for real. But you need to stop driving a car if you took your grandson to the movies in a car, and you need to retire and go to bed.
Dear, I don't know what you're talking about. Dear, I fought for your right to sit on the phone and run the hole under your nose... And all I'm asking for is...
That's not respectful.
Well, all I'm asking for is a little peace and quiet in a movie theater to watch some god-awful penguin...
I have the answer for you, sir. The best way to do that is wait till it comes out on video or TV and watch it in your own home.
Well, I would love to do that, but I've got a 5-year-old grandson and a grandmother, my wife, that enables him. She's codependent with him and lets this brat... run us around. Well, you know, son,
you know, you've got a lot of bad karma going, man, with your grandson. The little boy wants to go see the penguin movie.
You know what, Henry?
Let's thank God
that your wife does have a codependency with the grandson, because she surely to God wouldn't want to be that way with you. It's a blessing that she is close to her grandson.
You want to know something? I just recognized something. You're the woman that was sitting behind me in the theater. I recognize the voice now.
No, it wasn't me.
You weren't in the Montclair Six last week.
I don't even know where that is. I live in Naples, Florida.
I can tell by the way Cindy Sheehan looks through her face. She's nuttier than... Well, you can say...
Why are you going to Cindy Sheehan, man? We're talking about March of the Freaking Penguins.
Listen to the language you're using.
Sir...
Oh my goodness.
All right, Susie, thank you.
Well, she brought up Southwest.
No.
She brought up Southwest Florida, where there's a high concentration of Jewish people listening to your broadcast right now. What's wrong with that?
He's way out of line.
So you don't think there's Jews living around you?
Who cares if they are? They're wonderful people.
Well, Cindy Sheehan hates them.
Well, I don't care. I don't even know who she is, and I don't care.
That's a good thing you don't, because if you did. I'll tell you what you would do. You'd get out the electric knife.
All right.
I fought for this country, and I know what an electric knife can do to a bull haircut.
A bull haircut? Dude, I didn't know it locked out with that. I was on this chat room last day. It was a lot of fun with the people who are members over at SweetFeatheryJesus.com. And we had a lot of folks on, and we were doing a chat. So anyway, this guy asks me, I noticed that you laugh at flashbacks. I said, well, yeah, because I don't remember. I, honest to God, I can't tell you what we did on the show last night. Well, I remember what we did on the show last night because I was writing to people about it last night in the chat room. But like any given night, tonight, if you ask me, what'd you do on the show last night? I wouldn't be able to tell you. I can't remember. I know we did Justin McElroy last night. The other one, I don't remember. Okay. Well, the reason why I bring that up is, we did Vernon Dozier. Okay. So Mark reminded me.
Yeah, he had to remind you.
No kidding, man. I'm admitting it.
Yeah, see?
See what? I'm admitting it. I don't remember. God, man. Yeah, score one for Bud. Woo. Big one.
Yeah, well, you're always saying I'm dumb.
Why don't you shut up and let me finish?
You're always saying I'm dumb.
Why don't you shut up and let me finish?
You do.
Okay. God.
Well, you do.
Shut up, man. Let me finish what I'm saying here. So anyway, now I forget what I was saying. God, what a bastard.
I'm telling.
Yeah, here he goes. He's calling Hall. Great.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I got a chiropractor in Santa Monica, man. His name's Ralph Alvey. Saved my life today because ever since I was lifting concrete for a living, which was way, way back when I was like 19, and I destroyed my back. What happens, for those of you who got a back problem, you know, eventually it finds its way up your spine to your neck. And so problem is, this is very weird, but I've been feeling like Goldilocks for the last, 3 weeks. Because I can't get a good night's sleep because of, I know this is about to sound like a mattress commercial, doesn't it? Hi, friends. Can you get a good night's sleep? Well, how about sleeping out of doors? Sleep out in the street. That's right. Hello, I'm Larry King for sleeping in the middle of an avenue. You know, I couldn't get a good night's sleep. Why? Because I was drinking too much of that Ginsana. That's right. So I had myself a cigarette. I laid down in the middle of the boulevard. I got run over by a Peterbilt. I feel good. So anyway, I can't sleep, man. One of the problems in my house, all the beds are really feather soft. I don't know what it is. All the kids like soft beds. And what I've been doing is I've been going from, there's a lot of empty different beds, you know, because the kids are off to school. So I went down, I slept in my son's bed, two of my sons, I slept in that bed, and that ain't working. I slept in another bed, nap, that ain't working, man. The floor, my bed. Finally, I found a couch someplace. Like for 3 weeks, I'm trying to find a place where my head, because I can't sleep on my back. So a lot of the things.
Why not?
What?
Why can't sleep in your back?
I mean, it's none of your business, bud, why I can't sleep on my back. So a lot of what I've been having to do is sleeping on.
Why won't you say?
It's none of your business. Shut up. Why I don't sleep on my back. So what I've done is I've you know, tried to find a really firm surface to sleep on, and that's really helped my neck.
And I want you to tell people why you won't sleep on your back.
Big fat mouth on you, huh?
I don't know.
I don't sleep on my back because I'm too fat and I get that apnea stuff, okay?
What are you talking about? Oh, I'm laying on my back all firm.
Ow! Bug off. I don't know, man. I mean, you know, since I picked up some weight, you know, I'm like laying there at night. You know, that whole trip, it sucks, dude. You ever hear people do that? Jesus. So I sleep on my side. Now, you might ask, Phil, why don't you lose a few pounds, you fat slob, and then you can sleep on your back and your neck won't be messed up? Or do you just want to make life difficult? Anyway, Ralph Alvey out in Santa Monica, the guy's great. I'll say nothing more. Fantastic. Saved my life. You know, the first time I ever went to a chiropractor was in New Orleans, okay? You know, this whole trip with chiropractic and nutritionists and all this jazz, right? Oh, yeah, everybody goes, well, it's 1978, and I'm working at a radio station in New Orleans called WNOE-FM. And I'm sitting there one night, and I'm doing my show, and I feel a pain go from the back of my neck through my skull into my eyeball. Would you think brain tumor? I sure did. I'm thinking, what the hell was that? I'm leaning forward on the console, and that's one of the problems with your neck and doing this gig, man. I'm leaning forward, and I feel this pain shoot into my eyeball. So I don't know what I got. Maybe a brain tumor, but I'm sure as hell not going to do anything about it. I'm young, and I was going to go get drinks that night. But later on a Sunday morning, I'm watching a public affairs show on one of the local New Orleans TV stations, and I see this guy with this four eyes, basically, is what this guy was, with the Coke bottle glasses. And he's being interviewed by a lady, and he's talking about chiropractic. Now, I'd heard about it. I heard these guys were nuts. They crack your bones, right? I didn't know anything about it. But I listened to this cat, and I thought, you know what? Maybe this is, I don't know why, I thought maybe this is the answer. So I called this guy's office, and I made an appointment. And I went out, way outside of town, to Metairie, Louisiana. And guess where this guy's office was? It was like in a supermarket. Imagine going to a supermarket, and then you go in the back through those swinging doors, you know, where the guys go to get the corn when you want it shucked. What do you want, Mr. Henry? Can I get six ears shucked? Yeah, right away. And then they got to go in the back and do it. Makes you wonder what they're doing with the cobs. Just do it in front of me, man. No, I got to go in the back and do it. Why? That's just what we do. Well, I'm not so sure I like what you're going back there and doing, okay? Just chuck them right here. No, I'm going to go in the back. So you go through the swinging doors. And then you go back, and you know how, have you ever gone through the swinging doors at a supermarket? I've often gotten so angry, I've gone back, hey, let's go, come on, huh? Anybody, I want apples. And I'll go back there, and there's a guy in an apron. There's like guys in aprons with boxes of stuff. I go back to the swinging doors, and there's guys unloading apples and crap, and I go up these stairs, and I go to this office where this chiropractor is. And,
ain't that where the oil of cukes?
Huh?
Isn't that where they oil up the cukes?
Oil up the cukes. Yeah, that's where they oil the cukes. What a jackball, man. Yeah, okay. That's right, bud. That's where they oil the cukes, and that's where they go with my cob.
Yeah, they go back and wedge it.
Oh, shut up, man. So I go up to this guy, and there he is in his supermarket office. But he's a really nice guy, and he's a bone-cracking chiropractor. You ever been to one of them? You haven't? Have you been to a chiropractor? Never? You been to one, Wayne? Most of the chiropractors now, they'll just, you know, they don't do any of that bone-cracking. They just kind of, you know, manipulate your body. Man, there was a time, though, they would take your head and they'd rip it clean, almost rip it clean off your shoulders. All right, you're just going to feel a little rack. Twist your head around like Linda freaking Blair. Just bloop, bloop. You know, wind it up and then let go. Freaking head's like an airplane propeller. And I'm going to tell you something. The guy cured me. He cured me. Now, you know what they say. The proof's in the pudding, ain't that the saying? In other words, you can talk about how a guy may be full of crap, or you can talk about how something isn't right or isn't real, but if it helps you, it helps you. And especially if you grab a guy's head and twist it around like it's an airplane propeller, and you go, okay, Phil, I'm going to let go now. This is going to be some kind of a ride. Okay, Doc. But I didn't have the pain anymore. I said, this is great. This is great. So I went back. I said, I got maybe 3-4 times for the, you know, follow-up adjustment. And that was the end of that, man. That was the end of that problem that I had with that particular thing. But, you know, since then, because I haven't taken the greatest care of myself. But ever since then, I've always talked about chiropractors as being really cool. And, you know, you run into medical guys, they flip out. They want to give you a shot. They want to give, you know, they give me a little B12, maybe a little morphine. That's good. But now you got chiropractors on the street corner. I mean, just any old guy can bone crack now. Any cat, you know, I'm Dr. So-and-so, man. He's got like a one room off. He's in a closet. He's got, basically, it's like a shoe shine stand. Come on over. We'll manipulate you. Have you ever seen those places? They have the chair and they'll manipulate you. And what's this Rolfing stuff anywhere? What do you mean deep tissue massage? Smile when you say that. So, dude, I feel 1,000,000% better, and ain't no more sleeping on the couch for me. It's just, it's like it's a beautiful thing. And now I'm free. I'm free to do the things I want to do. I can be the man that I've always wanted to be. I can laugh. I can skip and jump with the children out in the fields.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-868.
By not coming out of the closet, and I think what's happened here in Hollywood that
you know for a fact he's gay.
I'm 97% sure.
All right, so what? Do you know this through people?
I've got contacts, yeah.
All right, so George Clooney is gay, and you're feeling that he won't come out with this until, what, the release of Ocean's 13?
I think so. I think that if he comes out and says that he's, you know, if he comes out and says he's a fruit before Ocean's 13 comes out, he's going to lose a lot of that young male demo that drives movies like that, and I think George is smart enough to know that that's the case. I think he's making a big mistake. I don't think it matters whether you're gay or not. I think people will go and see the movie if it's a good movie. And for the longest time, Phil, since I found out that George Clooney is gay, I have wanted him to come out of the closet. I think if you're gay and you're not out, someone ought to slap you out of the closet. And I would slap it right. I'd slap him right out of that closet if I could, but he's only fooling himself if he thinks he's got other people fooled, so that's why I'm...
Isn't this called outing somebody?
Well, I suppose it is, but I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I have been all of my life, and I've been out since Tuesday. I'm joking, of course, Phil. I've been out for quite a while. I've been out since last summer, as you know, and I've tried to explain to people that the longer a gay person stays in the closet, the longer the rest of us suffer, and I think that when we all come out, and I don't care whether you crawl out, whether you run out, whether you come dancing out, skipping out, or whether someone has to go in there and push you out, and once you are out, slap your face for being in there, then that's got to be done. But I think that Clooney has, I think the time has come for Clooney to shut up about all this other stuff and come clean that he's a gay man and quit, you know, trying to put it off with all this other nonsense that he's doing right now, you know, with the politics and everything like that.
You know, when you talk about George Clooney being gay, I don't know if it has the same bombshell effect or would have the bombshell effect of a Rock Hudson. You remember when that was discovered?
Well, see, that happened Rock Hudson was discovered to be gay after he died. But, yeah, he was a traditional macho figure. I think that a lot of women liked, a lot of men identified with. And to find out that the guy was full bore, I mean, just roaring, you know, is... But I'll tell you...
What do you mean full bore?
Well, my contacts tell me that Clooney is just roaring. He's just a squirming, what we call a squirming, screaming queen. And I would say this, Phil, that Ocean's 13 will only be helped by Clooney coming out and just saying straight out, you know what, all this stuff is a smokescreen, so you won't find out that I'm gay. And I know it's lonely. I know it's lonely in the closet. But it doesn't have to be. And like I said, I'll go in there, and I'll go right into George Clooney's closet. I'll give him some company. He'll never forget. I'll kick his ass out of there so fast. But I think that's up to him.
That's it from Hollywood. Clooney's a fag. That's great, man. Doug Danger, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, time now to read some email very quickly here. Coming up next hour, by the way, we have Justin McElroy from Canyon High School on the insult delivered to him by his parents. They bought him a Mitsubishi Lancer. Dear Phil, recently I purchased a $4,000 Pioneer Elite plasma television. It really is brilliant, as it better be, at this price. However, since discovering your show finally here in Los Angeles and subscribing to your show online, I have very little time to use it. Can you imagine that? Imagine a lame ass like me buying a $4,000 Pioneer Elite plasma television, Phil, and not using it. That's how gay I've gotten over your show. Thanks so much, Eric. Jesus, dude. Pretty sad, man. Here's one from Paul Booth Johnson. Hey, Phil, I'm so addicted to your show. I love it. I've been listening now for a couple of years. Right now, I'm mincing about my house holding myself. I scan the AM dial when I'm in my semi-truck all over the country just to find your show. No XM for me yet. One thing I noticed is you sometimes cut off your characters when they're slamming the callers. You, a lot of times, break in and tell your characters to stop beating up the callers. But that's the most funny thing about the show. When your characters slam the callers, please let your characters slam the callers. By the way, let them slam the callers. Paul Booth Johnson, mental case. Here's one from Jason Bauer. Hey, Phil, could you remind me what the name of the movie was that you were talking about on your show where a guy ends up being his girlfriend's art project? Hey, what was the name of that flick? I can't remember. It's a Neil LaBute movie. Also, don't give up on the MP3s. Even without the music, they are still the best thing going. Great show as always, Jason Bauer. I can't remember that. You know, I was trying to remember that the other day, and I couldn't remember that.
Can you remember it?
No, I can't remember it. That's the point. Here's one from LC. By the way, he calls me a biatch, B-E-O-T-C-H. That's not how you spell it. Hey, Phil, MP3 links are gone from your site. Bring them back. These are the best. I like to listen to these in my car, you jackball. Come on, help a brother out. I do like the Media Center. Pretty effing cool. Later, biatch. Kind regards, LC, prisoner number 63152, San Quentin. Oh, the music ended, so I guess that's all the time we have. Oh, there it is again. Why don't you just fade me out as I read the... Hey, Phil, I just wanted to say that it was exciting to see a promo clip of your show Thursday night. We all yelled and screamed when we saw you with your big fat red sweater just standing there in the scene. Can't wait to see the show. Dear Phil, thanks for the Days Before L.A. adds to the archives. Just wonderful stuff. Yeah, you hate it, but it's still great. It's a pleasure to hear how some voices and personalities evolve. Sundown into Jeff...
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.